Sometimes there are details in Scripture that we think are just not all that important. We can kind of glance over them, but then we discover there's a lot more going on than just setting the stage in a simple way. And we have one of those examples here in the gospel today. It opens up with St. Luke telling us that great crowds were traveling with Jesus. And it sounds like a detail. Okay, well, that's nice to know. And then we move on to what's really important. But we need to pay attention to that, because when we think through what's going on here, we can imagine all of these people who have begun to follow after the Lord. And with this huge crowd of people, Jesus, he stops, he sees all of them, but he knows that as humans, you know, what we often do is it's easy when you see a crowd beginning to gather, it's easy to feel like, well, I have no idea what's going on over there, but I don't want to miss out on it. And a crowd tends to attract a crowd. And people can begin to stand around with no clue what's really going on. They just kind of want to be part of whatever is happening. And it seems like the Lord, he really knows that about us. And so in response, he stops, he turns back to the crowd, and he wants to make sure that they really know why they're following him. Again, because he knows the human heart so well. Earlier this summer, when I made my trip out to Yosemite, I got to see that part of our human nature firsthand. A few different times, I got to experience what the rangers just refer to really casually as a bear jam, where somebody who's there in the park spots what they think might be a bear, and they stop their car right in the middle of the road. They get out with their phone, and they just start taking pictures. And then as soon as other people see that happening, they say, well, I don't want to miss out on that. They stop their cars, they jump out, and you have this huge crowd of people all like looking like randomly off into the woods this way or that way. And a few different times it happened. One time I got to actually be the cause of it, because it was early one morning. I was out walking, and right in the middle of one of the meadows that's at the heart of where a bunch of people are camping and all of that, there was a bear that just one morning just came walking on through to get breakfast. So I stopped, and I did what you have to do. I pulled out my phone, and I just started taking pictures. And almost immediately, a cyclist stopped, got off her bike. She started taking pictures. A couple cars show up. And next thing you know, there's just this crowd of people, and we're all just watching this bear kind of make his way across the meadow. But I'm sure there are people that are stopping, not because they had any clue what was going on. They just don't want to miss out. So we do this, and it's happening here in this great crowd that's following the Lord. And then he does something amazing, which I think is so, I just find it so beautiful. He is not interested in just having a whole bunch of people randomly and half-heartedly following him. He wants us to know what we're doing, to be deliberate about it. And he would rather have a handful of really, truly committed disciples following him than some huge crowd of people. And so he stops and he says to them, look, I don't know if you're fully aware of what you're doing here, but if you're going to follow me, I need you to know that I want to be number one in your life. And so if you're going to put family and other relationships and yourself ahead of following me, then don't even bother trying to be my disciple, because it cannot work that way with me. And if any of you are willing to follow me, as long as it's comfortable, I need you to know that just stop. Because you cannot be my disciple unless you're willing to pick up your cross and come after me. And if any of you are following me, but in the back of your mind you're thinking, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll kind of go back to relying on all the stuff I have in life. He says, unless you're willing to let your material possessions come second, You can't be my disciple. And what's so beautiful in this is that he is not afraid to tell us those words, because what he's after is your heart. That's what he wants. He is not interested in just numbers. He wants hearts, hearts that are committed to him, that are willing to say, Lord, I've come to believe that there is nothing better that I could have in life than you. And I'm willing to put everything else on the table in order to have that. And I just think it probably shocks us that he doesn't really care about numbers. We live in a world that's so driven by numbers. You know, everything ends up getting measured by numbers. And I'm sure you remember, you know, the stories we've had. Some of our big newspapers get in trouble because they inflated their subscription rates. Because if we can show more people, then our stock's going to be higher. And then with Twitter and Instagram, they get in trouble because people are discovering that the number of followers that certain people have seems to be inflated. We live in a world driven by numbers, and yet here is the Lord Jesus saying, I do not care at all about numbers. What I want is your heart. Now, yes, he wants everyone to be saved, absolutely. He suffered and died so that all of us could be saved. So he wants everyone, but he doesn't want everyone in a half-hearted and uncommitted way, because that doesn't save us. We're not saved in that way. We're saved by being willing to put everything on the table and saying, Lord, you're worth it. So as I was praying through this week, I was thinking, you know, in the gospel here, the Lord very deliberately gives the crowd a chance to stop and begin to think through, like, yeah, why am I doing this? And there are moments when the Lord allows that to happen, where he will deliberately kind of stop us in our tracks and ask us to kind of check our heart with the question, why am I doing this? But it also can happen that just life itself gives us opportunities where we are offered the chance to stop and say, Lord, why am I doing this? Like, for example, I love every one of our young parents here this morning who's here with your kids. You go through this every Sunday where I'm sure you're asking yourself, is it worth it to go through all of the effort to bring my kids to Mass, to kind of wrestle with them and wrangle with them during Mass? I'm probably not even going to feel like I even heard the homily. Is it even worth it? Every single Sunday, you're in a position where you've got to ask yourself, Lord, how committed am I to this? And I love it that you're here. Because you went through that this morning and you made the decision, it's worth it. And I love that, I applaud that. Please keep doing that. But there are other times in life when in different ways we have a chance to ask that same question. A big one this past year, and this one's huge, you know it, but you know, over this past year with the scandal, we were all, have been all, still are being given the chance to ask, Lord, with all of that going on, why am I here? And I know that we've been through that over this last year, and it will continue, but that you're here tells me, because I know there's not one of us that hasn't wrestled with that, you're here having made that decision, Lord, there is still something of such great value that even with the mess in the church, I'm going to come. I'm going to be here. And I want you to know I don't take that lightly, because we all have friends or family members who have decided that over the course of this past year, the threshold at which that they were willing to pay or just what they could take was reached, and they're not here. And that's painful. You are here, and I want you to know that I don't take that for granted. Just the other day, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia released numbers over the last 30 years up in Philly, This is one of the most Catholic cities on the East Coast. Over the last 30 years, from 1990 until now, over 50% of the people that used to go to Mass are not going to Mass there. Half of the people that used to go to Mass are not going to Mass at all. So I share all that with you because I want to encourage you. There are lots of things that cause us to stop and say, why am I doing this? And is it worth it? And I really pray that for every one of us, again, our experience of the Lord's love for us will be so intense and so real that we're in a place where we're going to say, Lord, you are worth it. You're worth the trouble and the work and the energy of getting the kids up and ready and out the door, to the more painful stuff of, Lord, even with your church needing to be purified, you are still worth it. I pray that each of us will have that intense of an experience of his love that we're willing to put the stuff on the table. So I want to encourage you with that. And then let me end with this. That we're here this morning is good, but that doesn't mean that there's not more that the Lord may be asking of us. So let me end with this. In the gospel here, the Lord points out three areas, very practically, where he's saying to the crowd and to us, check your hearts on these three things, and if they're getting in the way, I need you, if you're going to follow me, I need you to be ready to put it on the table as well. So going into this new week, let's ask the Lord for the grace to look at these three areas. He mentions family as one area that can impede our growing closer to the Lord. It can happen in a million ways, but maybe it's not wanting, or the fear of offending family, not wanting to look funny among friends. So we let our faith kind of slip to the background because maybe we're more concerned about pleasing other people. That's just one way out of a million. Lord, are there any ways in my life right now where family and other relationships is keeping me from growing in my relationship with the way that you're calling me to? The second one he mentions is comfort. Is there any way, any area in my life right now where my love of comfort, my fear of the cross, is keeping me from going all in with you? Lord, show me my heart. Show me any area where I've been unwilling to embrace the reality of the cross. The third area he mentions is the stuff in life, material possessions. Lord, is there any area in my life where my love of stuff is keeping me from yielding and surrendering my heart to you more fully? Now, he knows your heart, so he knows the answers to every one of those questions. What we need to do is, in our prayer time, what I want to encourage you to do this week is let him show you what he sees. Lord, show me my heart and help me, again, to so experience your love that what you show me, I won't be afraid of putting that on the table and saying, Lord Jesus, you are worth it. You really are worth it. And that in a very deliberate and committed way, we can put our life into his hands and really be as all in as his disciple, as his follower, as we can possibly be.